You're listening to the Coconetics Podcast. Episode 34, recorded Saturday, April 21st, 2012. Be excellent and valuable. We can learn about cool company philosophy from the Valve Employee Handbook. Objective-C is creeping up on C++ as the world's almost most favorite programming language, and iOS 4 can now be retired. Still no WWDC, some people start getting nervous, and some even try to jinx it. Marco Arment of Instapaper would prefer if WWDC 2012 didn't happen in the week from June 11th through 15th, because that would mean he couldn't spend his birthday at home, which falls in this interval. There are no other obvious candidate dates for WWDC, so we keep on being stressed out by Apple with every passing day. And yes, I'm stressed too, aren't we all? For the next big update of my iCatalog framework, I've spent the last week migrating everything to Arc. Automatic retain counting, or reference counting actually. The whole project started out as one iPad app, and over time the number of targets has grown exponentially. We are now developing some more advanced features, but decided that these will be iOS 5 only. So, of course, I'm switching to Arc. And of course, there's ShareKit, which has no hope of being migrated to Arc soon. So I had to pack it into its own static library with Arc turned off. In the end, I want the iCatalog project to be only for the core functionality. All the iCatalog apps, that's the apps using this functionality via a static library, should be in a different project so that I don't have to mess with the dozens of targets for all the catalog apps anymore. Because that's really tedious if you have several dozen targets and have to switch around all the time. I'm telling you this for two reasons. First, as an excuse for not having a better show prepared. And second, as a pointer that you might want to have reusable core functionality also in your own modules and sub-projects. Oh, and I have another excuse. My MacBook Air is still being repaired. I suspect that the power regulator had a problem. Sometimes it wouldn't charge, then it would. If I were lucky, you could start it, but then it would shut down by itself after a short while, and then you couldn't start it until you reset it with these secret key combinations. But fortunately, I have AppleCare for it, and so that should be fixed next week. And now for some interesting news. Yes, there are a few. TOB Software publishes their Programming Community Index every month. This is sort of a hit parade of programming languages, somehow measured by an elaborate methodology that uses search engines to determine the relative importance of programming languages. In the current April report, the top position went to C, which overtook Java on second place compared to a year ago. C++ stayed put on the third place. The big winner in the top 10 is Objective-C, which moved from 8th place last April to number 4. Objective-C also became the language of the year in 2011 because it seems to be rising in these ranks like a rocket. All of us iOS and Mac developers using this for our favorite platform probably helps here quite a bit. Google Currents launched internationally this month, after almost half a year being US only. Will Kiefer, the iOS developer behind Google Currents, told me that they too make widespread use of UI web views for the main reason that their online publishing tools require JavaScript to run and that only the HTML5 CSS support in web views allows them to expose the customizability for their content partners. Will told me that to speed up image loading, he replaced the normal NSUL cache mechanism with NSUL protocol. This is faster because NSUL cache can only return one cached response at a time, while NSUL protocol can work concurrently. That's definitely something worth looking into. I'm trying to get Will on the Coconetics podcast in one of the next episodes. LLVM.org published in much greater detail the new Objective-C literal syntax for NS numbers and containers. Users of Apple's compiler will be able to start using these features with Apple LLVM compiler 4.0. Users of open source LLVM.org compiler releases can use these features starting with Clang version 3.1. The 4.0 compiler will be in Xcode 4.4, which is due out about the same time as OS X, OS 10, Mountain Lion sometime this summer. The good thing will be that since this is compile time technology, similar to Arc, it will mean that we should be able to use the new literal syntax also on older iOS versions. Valve Software, makers of Steam and amazing games like Half-Life, have published a copy of their new employee handbook online. This manual is supposed to give new hires an overview of the Valve company philosophy. I recommend that you download this book and read it on your iPad because it's truly a piece of art. The manual in itself is a piece of art because it has beautiful illustrations and tons of interesting content, even if you don't plan to try to be hired by them. Valve is nevertheless quite unusual in their philosophy. They don't have a hierarchy or managers. Instead, you are free to pick the projects that you would like to work on. It's like at Google, where people have 20% for their own projects, of their time, that is. Only at Valve, this is 100%. I'm astonished that this can work, but I too will need to read the manual first before I can tell you how they do it. Quite inspirational. Speaking of the value of employees, in the last quarter, the profit per employee at Google, Apple, and Sony were $96,090, that's with 33,000 employees at Google, $215,200 with 60,000 employees at Apple, and at Sony, the average employee of 168,000 lost the company about $11,690. That's interesting to see how Apple employees manage to make the company more than twice as much profit per person as Google employees. Why is that? What is that? What makes them so valuable? Possibly Apple selling boatloads of iOS devices? David Smith published his latest 5.1 upgrade stats and he reports, upgrades appear to have leveled off into the slow trickle phase. After the initial surge of upgrades, both OTA and otherwise, user adoption has transitioned into a more measured pace. Overall, there is still a clear movement towards the newer OS variants. 82% of all users are now running some flavor of iOS 5X. End quote. What's interesting in these statistics is that there is an even greater adoption of iOS 5 than it seems, because the numbers are drawn down by laggards on various versions of the iPod Touch. On iPad, you will find no less than 86% on iOS 5.0 or greater. On iPod Touches, this is only 65%. My theory is that these iPod Touches are mostly in the hands of children, which don't care for newer iOS versions, while the games they want to play still support iOS 4. David Smith concludes that these numbers are good enough for him to drop iOS 4 support in his next major updates. And the App Store review weather. As of April 20th, there was a 3% chance of raining on your new apps and 1% of bad weather for app updates. Now that's the end of what I had prepared in material for this show. One person on Twitter suggested that I should maybe talk about the recent uptake of iOS-related hardware and software projects on Kickstarter. To this, I can't say really much. I was one of the people who helped how do you say, pledged for the Double Fine Adventure, which set a record of funds raised on Kickstarter with 3,333,000. But this record has already been breached by another project. That's from some people who are making a watch. And it's a special watch because, first of all, it uses e-paper as a display. So it uses very little battery power and is also quite nicely readable in bright sunlight. This is called the Pebble. But the thing that's cool about that and why it's related to iOS is you actually use your iPhone to send content to it. So you have an app running on your iPhone that is able to push informations like tweets and other things for which you can write your own programs to the device. And that's sort of what people would want Apple to do with the iPod Nano. Yeah, like when people came up with an armband for the iPod Nano to carry the Nano with them, and when Apple refreshed the skin of it, it looked like it might be a small iOS device that we could program for. But unfortunately, they are still using some sort of Pico operating system that's low power, that is basically just skinned to look like iOS. It's not real iOS. But I'm thinking that's probably something that some interns at Apple are already working on. And if Apple can get the battery endurance of an iOS device for your wrist, in the vicinity of what the Pebble is claiming, they claim, I think, a week. So if you charge your watch, you can wear it for a week until you run out. And if Apple can get something like that, that would be really awesome to have sort of a embedded iOS running on a watch. Now, there's another Kickstarter project that tries to kind of sail in the slipstream of the Double Fine Adventure. That's L. Low and some Israeli company who are trying to revive Leisure Suit Larry. And I must say I also back them because I'd like to get a refreshed version of these childhood memories of mine, because I was one of the people who played Leisure Suit Larry. And it looks like they're going to be making their funding goal as well. Now, the question that's on my mind is this a good thing or a bad thing that so many software projects are being funded on Kickstarter? With hardware projects, I can understand there's a certain minimum orders that you need to make for tooling and for parts and so on. But with software projects, well, should those really be funded via Kickstarter? Should regular software, so I'm not talking about games, but some iOS apps, should those be funded on Kickstarter? Let me know what you think about that. You can always email me at oliver@coconetics.com or tweet me at coconetics, or on my website you can respond with a comment and let me know what you think about that. There are a couple of other iOS related Kickstarter projects, but these I still haven't looked at so far. I actually didn't know about these before today, so I'll do that and report what I find there. Well, and that's it for another episode of the Coconetics Podcast. I hope you revisit me next week when we have another show.